Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome to Lutheran Radio UK, your healthy digital radio addiction, where we have for you now another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. And this week we're looking at Psalm 118, verses 19 to 29, because we've finally come to Palm Sunday. We've come to the end of Lent, and there's a new story to tell. So from the English Standard Version, our text reads, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." In some oral cultures, before the advent of print, long before the infiltration of television, people gathered together in their communities and told stories. These stories were the entertainment. More than that, they were the education of the people. And the very power of the story was that it shaped the way people thought and molded the community. Now picture the Israelite community, an oral culture in 1000 BC, gathered in the tabernacle at a time of national celebration, maybe the Passover. Picture the Levites leading the people in singing and the crowds rejoicing as they remember the stories of Israel's triumphs that this psalm, Psalm 118, our text, recalls. And now picture the story that you've heard again today, the story you know so well, Jesus riding on a donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and hear these words put to that: "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, the righteous shall enter through it. And thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation." Verses 19 to 21. Again, you've heard the story, but it's wonderful to have it put into a new light, isn't it? And what's more, it summarizes so well all of the amazing events that have been laid before us in history, all which the Lord let happen, the good and the bad, in order to reveal to us just how much he loves us. Events such as the enslavement of the Israelites under Pharaoh, only to be released from Egypt 400 years later, under his power and the guidance of Moses through the Red Sea. Events such as the Lord delivering David from Goliath and from the Arameans and Moabites and Ammonites. Events such as the gates of Jerusalem being flung wide open to receive David's returning army, 1000 BC. Can you see the story? Jesus, mounted on a humble donkey, ascends the roads to the very same gates of Jerusalem, AD 30. The crowds wave palm branches and throw their garments into the road. "Open the gates for the Son of David," they cry. Do you see it? "Our God is mighty," they shout once more. He appears humble, seated on a donkey, but it's the symbol for a confident king returning to his home. We are the ones who humble ourselves as we cry, "Hosanna, save us, we pray, O Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord." Verse 25 and 26. You see, it's the same story. Jesus, we're oppressed. The Romans rule over us. We're weak and helpless. But you're the Lord's Messiah, coming in his name. Save us. Make us mighty again. AD 30. And is it any different today? Do we not still cry out to the Lord to remind him we're oppressed in 2016? Maybe our government's a little improved since the time of the Romans, but we're still oppressed, and as equally we still oppress ourselves by our own sins, our wanting to be mighty ourselves, even when it might mean somebody else loses. We get the last parking space or concert ticket or even hymnal in the pew. Yes, we oppress ourselves by our sins. We still make the same mistake as the crowd in Jesus' day, of thinking that he comes in a way that our questions will be satisfied to our own standard, though we are the weak and helpless ones, unable to keep our health, our jobs, and even our very lives going on to the end. And the amazing thing is, he lets us do it. He hears our cries. Hosanna, do save us, Jesus, save us now, if you please, come now, as if it would make a difference to when he decides to come. For make no mistake, he has set a time and hour for his return. But it is not we who affect it, but his grace and mercy alone, which is truly why we will never know the time or day until it is upon us. We cannot predict it, but it will come, for he says so. In the meantime, it is also up to us to cry, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Verse 24, repeating what they said 1000 BC. Again, you've heard it before. But let's picture it. Now, as then, thousands of people streaming into Jerusalem. It's Passover week, highest celebration of the year. But this year is more festive than ever, because Jesus of Nazareth is finally coming into his kingdom, AD 30. And what a week it will be with Jesus, turning over tables in the temple, brilliantly silencing his opponents, giving his church the sacrament of his body and blood. 1 week eventful enough to be almost one-third of the four Gospels, over 40% of John's. You can see it, can't you? And now we've come to this Holy Week ourselves. We'll be in church again Thursday for our Passion Service and Friday for our Tenebrae Service, both beginning at 7:30 p.m. And we'll probably have even more as we have a full day the morning of Easter. 9 a.m. Songs of Praise, then breakfast, then the Divine Service, then a family photograph as all of St. David's Lutheran Church have turned up to join us for this special festival. Yes, we're eager to celebrate our release from all our oppressions, to acknowledge the forgiveness of our sins bestowed upon us by the graciousness of Christ's cross. We praise Jesus for his diligent care of us throughout all our days, for his angels which guide us on our way, for days to be able to rest from work and to be entertained, for the ability to take time and hear him, to not despise his word. Yes, this is why we rejoice and are glad in these days, that the little things in life be an occasion not to quarrel with God, but to thank him for his mercy. That we would not be among the builders who reject the stone, but recognize him to be the cornerstone that he is. For this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Verses 22 to 23. We've heard how Israel had been obstinate in the past, even when there were good days under David, 1000 BC, how time and time again they'd rejected the Lord's doings. And so may we learn from the mistakes of God's people in the past. May we realize that we are to sing about accepting all that we receive from God. May we see every day as a day which the Lord has made. And let that be reason enough to rejoice and be glad apart from and even with suffering. May we see Jesus as the stone and not reject him this Holy Week, for we are being led to the cross, where Jesus' death was planned and laid out for you and me. Yes, can you see? This is the Lord's doing. This is the thing that is marvelous in our eyes, even Jesus' death on the cross, for it is God's deliverance for us all, to redeem us from our oppression, to assure us that we are forgiven for our sins. And so this has become our story. You've heard the story from the past, you've pictured the story, and now you've lived the story. Now I suppose the question is whether or not you will tell the story. Who will listen? Only time can tell. There must be some point in our lives when our heads are not hidden in an iPhone or iPod or iPad, iMac or Amazon Fire Stick to do just that. Yes, there is bound to be that moment when we actually spend a little time with our children and let them know the faith, that it will be passed down to our children's children, that they would not think of us as only passing down to them our sour grapes, but remember and be able to recount for future generations that our God has done for us all that we could ever have hoped for, and more, as we reflect on Jesus' passion, his cross, and his resurrection for us. Yes. Let us recount all that our God has done, and may the story even be told through our lives of care for one another, in his name and for his sake. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann, and I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, where every Sunday we have a Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. Come join us. We'd love to meet you. You can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Come and become a part of the story of the church. And this all means that, of course, next week in Faith That Functions, we'll be looking at the text for Easter, 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll be asking the question, what if there was no Easter? So for now, I pray God's peace be with you, now and always.